I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear ladies, welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Lady. This is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be here with you, Muslim ladies from different parts of the world. I hope life is treating you well. And wherever you are, you're just healthy and pretty good in the mood. So, like always, we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Without me telling you, I think you need to introduce yourself.
All right. So I am Turfatlan Zainab Askari, basically from Indian Administrative Kashmir, and I have studied science, linguistics, and Hausa. I also have been writing for a couple of years now.
Thank you very much. So we share this part just for those who have joined us today. But aside from that, Sister Zainab is already known in here, and we've been using her insights for so many episodes in Muslim Lady. So one of the very critical points to think about and to figure out some strategies to help our lives to go toward a better direction is to share that mental load. Specifically, since we're addressing the Muslim ladies, specifically in their marital life. So, first of all, do I have to share my mental load? Why do I have to do it?
Of course you have to share it, otherwise you will get exhausted, overwhelmed, burned out.
Okay, but when I share, consequences are going to attack me.
Well, we'll go step by step.
Yeah, please.
We'll just get along, like, how does it come? Why does it come? For example, you know, when two people decide to live their life together and
Happily ever after.
Yes. The process of adaptation comes in. And this adaptation, despite its beauty, it has always accompanied, it has always been accompanied by mental and behavioral resistance. So that mental pressure is a signal that personal boundaries are now shifting and they are being redefined. So when reality differs from our mental expectations, that gap generates the stress, because not everything is, like, for example, as depicted in the Cinderella stories.
Yeah, romantic comedies.
Exactly. On the other hand, the modern world has imposed such a pressure.
Burden.
On families, the economic issues, the changes in family structure, work-related stress. These are all factors.
The bills.
Yeah, that increase the potential of this tension.
Yeah.
So there's a massive mental work and load that women tend to carry in their heads. If we're particularly talking about women here, and because studies have suggested that the bulk of worry work is mainly carried by moms. Nearly 9 out of 10 moms have said, as per researchers, that they feel solely responsible for organizing the family schedule.
Exactly.
This is so exhausting. Mm-hmm. Now, why is it so exhausting? Because it turns out that brain can only really focus on 3 to 4 things maximum at a time.
Yeah.
But when you, you know, switch a lot of things together.
It's always switched, and it's not 3 or 4 subjects.
Yes.
It's way more than that.
Exactly. So it uses brain energy, and that's the result is frustration, burnout. You get stressed out, you get overwhelmed, anxious, you turned out to be anxious moms. So this leads to a connection killer in a marriage. So it's not possible to keep up with the physical, mental, and emotional work at a crazy pace. So what you have to do is to expose the invisible load, the brain dump.
To the world.
Yes, especially to the family you're living with.
Yeah.
You cannot divide what you cannot see yourself. So first of all, yourself, you have to pen down a lot of things on your notebook. You have to list every single task that's required to run your life.
Mm-hmm.
So once you pen down, then you can, you know, discuss and divide. So now discuss. Once you have unloaded.
The difficult part, the real deal.
Discuss without criticizing, without attacking the other person. Offer some sort of concrete examples, like what you're experiencing, and make it clear that it's not just you're worrying too much, you're worrying too much, or you're complaining in a very respectful manner. You know, it's an exhausting mental load that affects your mood and attitude throughout the day.
Yeah, if I share it the way I keep it in my mind, then it's not going to go any good place.
Yeah, never those complaints get us good results.
Yeah.
You can always talk about
it. You have to filter it anyway.
Unload it and then try to talk about it in a better way. Because as we told you, you know, in a previous episodes as well, we have been telling continuously that nobody's a mind reader.
Exactly.
You got it, you know.
And we constantly have been talking about convey it in a good manner.
Yes, respectful manner.
Which is very difficult. I agree totally with the audience, with the ladies who are telling us right now that, okay, you're sitting somewhere cool in a comfortable, cozy corner, and then you are saying good manner is a good thing. Yes, it is, but in reality, to practice it, that's the very difficult thing to do.
Indeed. And, you know, we have been taught in Quran, speak in a polite manner, speak in a good manner. And we have examples from the lives of Prophet, from the lives of Imams, how noble they were, how politely they would talk. So
so we have to practice.
We have to practice. Because we call ourselves followers of Ahlul Bayt, we call ourselves we call ourselves Muslim ladies. So we have to be practicing Muslim ladies. Then I would say a lot of your load could be unloaded with technology. Use it.
For example.
Like, we have a lot of great tech today that can help us get worry out of our brains and, you know, make a task list out of it. For example, there are some apps that could add items to your grocery list and that could set reminders for you.
As for me, that would add to my tension.
No,
that reminders.
No, like reminders, because
creating a checklist, like it helps you have a checklist.
Yes, and I remember I was like, there was some person working under me, like we were doing some online working stuff, and the person told me I have a Google timetable. And this timetable tells me when to wake up, when to this, and this, as I have just given it a, you know, whole set of things. I have this, this in my life, and it has set time for each and everything.
Yeah.
So use tech to its best. We have all tech in our hands today on one click. We have online stores. We have online, even grocery could be bought online today.
Don't open that door.
So,
online grocery, that would add to the choices that you have, and then a new anxiety is going to pop out.
If you're not that sensitive. only if it relaxes your mind, because a lot of, I have seen a lot of women.
Because they can check the price easily and they can compare and then,
you know, otherwise just imagine a mom who has one child in her hand and she's also doing the grocery, she's also doing the shopping, and on the other side, she can sit home and, you know, order online things. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's going to
be easier and save her a lot of time.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying lighten your load with technology.
Yeah.
And like online orders and try apps for planning and organizing things.
So
not only reminders.
Aid and first lending hand is technology. Technology can actually help you share your load.
Yeah.
And get rid of that load which is pressurizing you.
Yeah. And you can read out a hadith aloud in your family on your dinner table, like, you know, Imam Ali used to help the family.
Yeah, it goes Prophet without saying, she's a Muslim lady.
Yeah. Prophet used to help the family. You can just teach these hadiths to your children. For example, when I'm cleaning the kitchen, I tell my son to come and help and, you know, just hold on the pipe and do it perfectly. And last night I was joking with him and I told him, if you're not going to do this perfectly, how are you going to help your wife tomorrow? And he was like, yes, I don't want her, her to suffer. So I'll teach me how to do it properly. So, you know,
that he has the potential.
Right. Do not teach your children that they are helping you. You have to teach your children in a way that this is their part of duty as well, even if it's a son. So, like, because our sons have been taught, you're there to sit on the couch
and do the king thing.
Yeah, and she's there to do the chores. Other thing I would like to say here is let go of control. And what does that mean is that, see, we want to do things right. We want everything to get right, get done.
Perfection.
Yeah, right. So when your husband or your children is trying to help you with the chores of the family, you have this habit of monitoring. You have this habit of, you know, criticizing or correcting.
Oh, live it, I do it in a better way.
Yeah.
I should have done it from the first. I should have done it by myself from the very beginning.
Yeah. So, you know what? This easily discourages them from
further help.
Yeah, further help or further engaging, I would say, in the household chores. So try letting go of some of the control.
Mistakes.
Yeah, and allow everyone to try new things. Yeah. Well, I think I get more exhausted when they help me personally.
That was the point I wanted to share.
Yeah, because, for example,
in itself, it's a mental load.
Yeah, they cook very well. They make things very well. I mean, if I want to tell my son, go and make an omelet, he will make such a good omelet. But at the same time, you know, that there's going to be a lot of mess around the counter.
The aftermath.
Which adds to my mental pressure. So if you work like that, then it's good.
Feel it's going to add to that mental load, just skip it. But for those who have got good companies, it's okay.
And, you know, one of the things, these are all post-marriage things, what I'm trying to say here, how you can help and all. But I would like to go before marriage. And I would like to say why it feels more of a mental load than of, you know, say, for example, we'll take example of cooking. Why cooking does not feel cooking or trying something delicious, why it feels like that mental load? Because long before our marriage, we watched a script unfold at home. Men settled into armchairs and with warm plates while women were, you know, moving back and forth between stove and the table, serving everyone except for themselves. And back in our culture, if I go back again, festivals were never celebrations. They were food marathons where we had to prepare 15 kind of, say, for example, course meals, and men had to eat them and we just had to prepare.
To enjoy the outcome.
Yes. It's the problem exists before marriage. Like cooking was never taught as a life skill. It was the start as a preparation for marriage. It was not due to the joy or to learn cooking is something delicious. It was how will you feed your family? Right.
Mm-hmm.
It came with judgment. Like, for example, you know, we make bread at home and it's called roti in Hindi.
Yeah.
They would say your roti is not round or your curry is too salty. Always would come with judgments.
Okay.
And, yeah. So
not too round.
What will your mother-in-law say about it? Right. So the rest was never a part of the recipe. Mm-hmm. You cooked, you cleaned, you served, and then you reheated your own plate. And I would say, because nobody thanked you even then, cooking was an invisible labor, which was noticed only when you did not cook. So men never had to learn it, and it was a gendered expectation. I would say it was not only in my society, it happens in a lot of societies. And it's never about the joy of cooking or laundry or other cleaning the house. It's all about how good girl you are. It's really never really a choice that it was expected, because expected things rarely make, feel you empowered. So I would say that women do not hate the art of working. Women do not hate the art of managing the chores at home. Rather, they hate it how early it defines them. So I would say to families, while you're preparing your daughter for marriage, do not let that old load be on her. And do not let it define her. So how...
Do not let the chores to define her.
Exactly. Because this is what will tell you how good girl you are. How good... What will your mother-in-law say? How you're going to feed your family?
A perfect marriage is not about how good of a girl you are.
Right.
Is all about sharing, caring, everything all together.
Right. As Ahlul Bayt did.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's a mutual road. Not indeed. One-sided. You're not going to be mothering someone. No. The other person is going to be just like your friend, and you are sharing this road and this journey all together.
Right.
And I think if we look at it this way, part of the load is gone. If you look at it this way, that this journey is not the journey of musts and laws and rules, and they're going to score me through the chores, and how round is the bread I'm going to
make.
No, it's not about that. It's about how compatible you are, how flexible you are, how much of understanding you have of one another. And never forget that it's a mutual road of a friendship that has to last for a long time. So take care of yourself until another episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you very much, Sister Zainab, and thank you, dear ladies, for staying with us. Until another episode of your favorite Muslim lady, take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges.